In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was a child, I lived on a street that had many, many children. It was a big block. In my age group alone, there were around 20 of us. A blind man, Pete, lived in one of the houses with his wife, no children. He was blinded during World War II, and he commuted each day from where we lived in Queens Village to Manhattan to work at the Lighthouse for the Blind up near Bloomingdale's. The commute was a bus ride and a subway ride and, of course, the walking to and from these things. We were a rowdy bunch of kids. Bullying was not yet frowned upon. It was boys and girls playing together, things like kickball and tag in the middle of the street, and things could get pretty rough out there. But every afternoon, around 4:30, at least one of us would spot Pete way up at the corner heading home. "Here comes Pete," someone would yell. And all the roughhousing stopped as we all raced up the block to Pete. You see, the first one to get to him would have the privilege of escorting him home. We had all learned the proper way to escort a blind person. We would first politely inquire, "Pete, may I walk you home?" And we would proudly and competently offer our arm for him to grasp, and we would walk at his pace. Oh, how we loved to do this. All the other kids who lost the race and could not escort Pete that day would follow behind, picture this, forming a somber parade with blind Pete as the grand marshal. As soon as Pete was safely to his door, we would resume our regular behavior, pushing and shoving one another back to our games. Think about how different it was in the time of Jesus for blind people and really anyone with any kind of affliction. They were outcasts, rejected by society and even their own families, and were reduced to begging to stay alive. Fast forward to our world, where me and my childhood friends raced for the honor of helping our blind neighbor. Our world, where if you see a blind person needing assistance to cross the street, people are generally eager to help, to the point where at times I wonder if the help is actually needed or wanted. And my childhood neighbor, Pete, he's traveled safely each day from home to the bus stop, from bus to subway, from subway to work and back with only his cane. Yet we assumed that when he arrived at his own street with his house just a half block away, that he needed help to navigate himself home. Not so in the world of Bartimaeus. No one was rushing to help him out. In fact, if he was noticed at all, it was as a nuisance, as an outcast. Bartimaeus sat by the side of the road day after day, begging for spare change. In his circumstances, in the time he lived in, there was really no alternative. As he hears Jesus and his entourage coming along, he can sense the excitement and the large crowd. And while that might have led him to think that this could probably be a good day for some extra cash, his choice of words indicate he was looking for something on another level. This was the day he would go for something big. He needs to really capture Jesus' attention, and he somehow comes out with, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the title Son of David is more than a statement of genealogy. It's a messianic title. It means long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And Jesus hadn't exactly been going around making this connection for himself. He was more in the tell no one camp. But Bartimaeus just goes for it. "I know who you are. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Uh-oh, what? I can see the crowd freeze. Did this outcast just call Jesus the Messiah? Jesus stopped in his tracks. We're told Jesus stood still. The crowd tries to silence Bartimaeus. They try to shelter Jesus from this blind beggar grappling for attention. It's then that a real miracle of sight occurs, because this gospel is not just about curing the physical blindness of one individual. Jesus stops and says, "Call him here." When Jesus says this, he opens the eyes of the crowd, forces them to see this person in a new way as Jesus sees him. And so already eyes have been opened. Their attitude changes quickly, and now it's a gentle, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and runs to Jesus. Now, why did he throw off his cloak first? I wonder if it was simply that the cloak was dirty and torn, and with all that sitting on the side of the road, perhaps he just didn't want Jesus to see that. But remember, Bartimaeus didn't just beg for money that day. He called out to Jesus as the Messiah and asked for mercy. Yes, he was really going for something big that day. Perhaps the heaviness of that cloak was kind of a security blanket, a protection that represented his old life. And he had such faith that things were about to change, he just tossed it and ran. Now Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" My guess is Jesus already knows. But he wants to hear it from Bartimaeus. And the response is, "Let me see again." Jesus tells him, "Go, your faith has made you well." But unlike others who were cured by Jesus and went on their way, Bartimaeus doesn't go. He stays and follows Jesus. More than eyes have been opened here. He makes the commitment and follows Jesus. But this, of course, is in the joyful moment of being cured of blindness. I wonder how happy he was with what he could now see. Surely, he saw some beauty around him. Surely, he also saw hatred and evil and violence and need and misery. And as he followed Jesus, he would also see Jesus' reaction and response to all that bad stuff, all the need and the misery. He would hear the teachings and learn what was expected of him as a follower. See and learn what his reaction and response should be. See that he needed to do as Jesus does. I wonder if at times he thought, "Maybe I just should have asked for the money." In the Old Testament, we pretty much get the end of stories. We know how Moses' life ended. We know Abraham and Sarah finally got a baby, and we get their whole life stories. We know that Noah and his family survived. But in the New Testament, many of the characters make cameo appearances, and we never know how their lives panned out. Bartimaeus is one of them, and I've imagined what might have happened next. So I'd like to ask him, if I could speak to him, I'd like to ask him, "So, Bart, you got your sight back and then you followed Jesus. How's that working out for you? Do you ever wish you could just put that dirty cloak on again and go back to languishing on the side of the road?" And then he would maybe say, "Well, I saw this Jesus, son of David, was really a servant of the people. And he teaches us how to be like him and how to bring about the kingdom of God here and now. But it isn't all wonderful. It's fine watching Jesus do all the good things, but then when I've got to do it, it's really hard." So he gets all whiny now. Bartimaeus goes on, "I just wanted to enjoy my gift, my sight. I'm thankful Jesus recognized me and showed folks there's no outcasts in his eyes. But then I'm expected to see the poor and the needy and to accept everyone. And the giving, all this giving. And then I might ask, so what will you do?" Bartimaeus would then explain that although at times it was difficult following Jesus, the way of love was truly the cure he sought when he changed his pattern and cried out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So I think he sticks with the program. Bartimaeus asked for the physical healing he thought he needed, but he got much more. He got big, life-changing healing. We also ask, we pray when we're having difficulties. As we work our way through our lives, we tend to pray a lot about practical needs. We almost can't help it, right? When we're in need, we pray, even if we don't call it prayer. We wish, we long for many things to help us through our daily struggles, our loneliness, our addictions, our fears. When we pray for specific things, it's usually a quick fix we're seeking, a narrow and specific fix. But perhaps at times, what we really need is the big, life-changing healing that Bartimaeus received, the big picture healing. And that'll take praying big. When we're in a spiritual crisis, when we're really feeling close to beaten, when our lives are just too overwhelming, when we're simply just too tired, that's when we need to skip the wish list praying and go deeper. Go deeper and widen the arc of our prayer and leave space for the Holy Spirit to be still and listen. That's when we can pray big. First, like Bartimaeus, let's toss off that dirty, heavy old cloak, whatever it is that's weighing us down. Let me see again. Again, because we already see, but we need to see again. Let me see, to perceive, to know. Lord, help me see my way out of this trouble. Help me to see how I might live and be happy. Help me to see your face in others. Help me to see what's expected of me as one of your own. Or just simply, let me see again, leaving it all in his hands. That's a wide arc of prayer. That's praying big. But be forewarned. Like Bartimaeus in my imaginary interview, we too will see that it may not always be convenient. It may not always fit into our schedules. It may change how our families and friends perceive us. We may even sometimes want to bury ourselves under that dirty, old, but familiar, comfortable cloak again and go back to our blindness, back to the side of the road where nothing is expected of us. And when that happens, we will eventually, hopefully, and because God never tires of us, we will again sense that God is near, and our hearts will cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We will seek and ask, Lord, let me see again, and we will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.